Hello and welcome to The Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Deshawn, and with me in studio today is the lockdown spectator himself, Kibba Motohai.
Thank you very much for having me, Desh. It's been a while.
Kibba, today we're going to discuss all things Amakhosi related. That's right, Kaizer Chiefs is going to be the topic of discussion today.
Well, I can't wait. The team without a cup for quite a while, and something has got to change.
Yeah, I think we owe it to the supporters. In fact, the whole country as a whole, because
South African soccer needs it.
Lots of people, pundits, players, managers said that you need a strong Kaizer Chiefs. Tim Sukazi of TS Galaxy even said he'd let go of his manager, Said Ramovic, if Kaizer Chiefs came, because he doesn't want to see a weak Kaizer Chiefs.
It is a fact. You know, you can't have a situation where the team that has got 65% of the support base in the country keeps suffering the way it is. You know, there's banter. There's always banter. But after a while, it's like, man, it kind of decreases the quality and the interest in football. And you must also understand, people also have to eat off the field, like us media pundits, whether it's guys on YouTube, the media, it doesn't matter. If people... so many people support a team are not interested in the game itself. It affects business at large, viewership, listenership, and it becomes a problem.
Of course. Well, you know, one club that has kind of went the opposite direction is Mamelodi Sundowns. As Chiefs have declined, Sundowns have been on the ascent. And, you know, 7 league titles in a row, unprecedented. Take it away from me.
It has that Manchester United, Manchester City feel. Manchester City is the best team in Manchester, but nobody really cares about their fortunes because everybody's more interested in what Manchester United has to do. And as much as it's great to see Sundowns having such global ambitions, we know that eventually they want to win the Club World Cup. That's the kind of ambition that they've got. Yeah. Kaizer Chiefs attitude. Kaizer Chiefs are called the Perfini Glam Boys, the boys of glamour. Abafana Bukthula Nkola. But they carry themselves like peasants. They carry themselves like paupers. And it's something that needs to change because, you know, you've got Pirates who wants to aim for Sundowns. Pirates wants to replace Sundowns. But at the same time, there is no Kaizer Chiefs without Orlando Pirates, or no Orlando Pirates
without Kaizer Chiefs. The original Soweto Giants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Of course. And you've seen the demise of the third Soweto club, which is Swallows, I believe, right now.
Yeah.
The status has been bought out by Maruma Gallants.
It's a damn shame. I'm sorry to use that word, but it is a damn shame. And this consistent changing of clubs also turns away, you know, because a lot of supporters now don't know who they can give their loyalty to. You know, if a team gets bought out, you've got a successful team in Eastern Cape, Umtata Bucks, they sell their status to a team in Benoni. What happens to the people of Umtata? You know, and so with Swallows now going through its third iteration, it's the third edition of Swallows, and now they call it Swallows FC. As far as we're concerned, it's Morocco Swallows, and they were known as the older generation of supporters, like our grandfathers and our grandparents, you know, supported them, and now with their status going, it's Sundowns, Pirates, Chiefs, and with Chiefs being weak, that's the third missing anchor in our football.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, Pirates is now that maybe last standing Soweto Giants.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to have to put a pause in that and maybe come back to Solos on another day.
Yes, yes.
Let's just keep it all Amakhosi related. Now, earlier on the podcast, you mentioned the term glamour boys.
Yes.
But, of course, there's several glamour boys that once plied their trade at Chlorocorp. I'm talking Mamelodi Sundowns players. Let's start with Kalego Mphela. When he came over, did you think he was going to be the one to turn things around? Because at the 2010 World Cup, he was the country striker. And, you know, there are many goalkeepers that fear the killer.
Lest we forget, that was when Kaizer Chiefs was challenging for the league title. It was when Kaizer Chiefs used to win the league title. So we thought that he would add that killer punch, that deathly blow to South African football. It never panned out for some reason. I can't explain why. The technical details are up in the air as for everybody to discuss. And, you know, that was a great, great striker. It just didn't work out. It was a disappointment.
Yeah. Do you think it was maybe the environment that he couldn't really fit into? Or was it maybe the lack of ambition from the club? Or what do you think was the reason for Mphela not working out? Because I'm going to mention a few names in a bit, but he was the most high-profile striker at the time.
We can't say it is pay because at Mamelodi Sundowns, he probably would have been paid more than he was paid at Kaizer Chiefs. And we can't say it was pressure because he had been at the highest level. He scored one of the great goals on Confederations Cup football history. He was at the World Cup. So I get the feeling this is one of those things where you have to look at the man himself. Like, how do you fail in an environment where everybody is desperate and critical enough for you to succeed?
Yeah.
It's for him to answer that one.
All right. Well, you know, soon thereafter, Castro was also on his way to Naturena, and you know, his impact as well, not the most, how can I say, hit the ground running type of adage.
That's what I've noticed. They all hit the ground running and then it all goes to pot. I can't explain that. You can't blame coaches. They were well recruited. It's not like people were just taken from the nearest dustbin and told, hey, come and play for Kaizer Chiefs. There had to have been a technical plan as to why we've bought you. You know, it goes back to that thing. We talk about it in the office. Real Madrid selling players to Manchester United. You know, it's
there
a thing.
There has been, though. They're finished at the time. You know,
maybe,
it's not the same caliber.
Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe Kaizer Chiefs is having the wool pulled over their eyes by Sundowns.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Do you think at that point in time, maybe the players see Chiefs as a reputable club that maybe they can spend a few of their glory years without the need to win a trophy?
Sundowns is the most dominant team in the PSL era. That we know. But it's terms of glamour, in terms of status, Kaizer Chiefs is above them. So Sundowns is to Chiefs is not a downgrade by any stretch of the imagination, because that's the most successful team in South African football history. So you think that you're moving on to something greater and higher, a new challenge. It's like if you maybe left Real Madrid right now to go and play for Manchester City, or Manchester City to go to play for Real Madrid. It's like similarly in terms of the kind of trophies that you win and the reputation of those clubs. So I don't understand. It's not a downgrade. It is definitely not a downgrade. And it's not a matter of pay.
Mm. Well, then, you know, it brings me to my next point. Then, and surely it's the project at Chiefs. And, you know, I'm going to name a trio of players that have moved from Sundowns, or rather had Sundowns in the CV at one point in time, and now landed at Chiefs. I'm going to start with Keegan Dolly. I mean, the man left almost like completing South African football.
Yep.
Went to Montpellier. Of course, it didn't work out. And then he was back in the country and signed with the Glamour Boys, Kaizer Chiefs. He follows Kama Bullitt as well, who came directly from Sundowns. And I must say, Bullitt had a few seasons under his belt with the Soweto-based club, but again, didn't really deliver that elusive piece of silverware. And now Gaston Serino, I believe he is 33 or 36 years of age. It's crazy.
I think this is where I get political. I have said it before on your platforms. I've said Kaizer Chiefs have got a Kaizer Jr. and Bobby Motaung problem. It's a technical director issue. That's where the technical side of the club. I don't think the guy at Mamelodi Sundowns, if he was at Kaizer Chiefs, or if indeed, let's say, Peter Mosimane was at Kaizer Chiefs coaching, they would allow anything like that. So the gatekeepers are the ones who are letting this happen. When last did you see Orlando Pirates signing anybody from Sundowns?
Yeah.
It's more a matter of, okay, let's get money out of whoever is at Orlando Pirates, let's send them through to Sundowns. So it benefits Pirates. It benefits Sundowns. But Sundowns to Kaizer Chiefs seems to benefit Sundowns only. Mm. So that's where you have to ask Bobby and Kaizer.
If they're scouting the right players.
Who is in charge of your scouting? Who's in charge of your technical department in terms of what these players... Because we understand they bring hype.
Yeah.
But what do they add to your team technically?
Mm. Well, excellent question. We're going to have to pose that to the Motaung family.
Yes, so I would like to ask them.
If you are listening, please answer.
You have to explain.
Lockdown Spectators. Yeah. You can find him on YouTube channel. All right. Let's move over to the current crop of players that they've had, because in this current window, they've signed the likes of Orlando Pirates' Bongani Sam, who's now injured.
Yes.
And will need to undergo some rehabilitation before he's fit and eligible for selection. They've signed Rwanda international goalkeeper Fiastri Ntwari, as well as the centre back who played for Cape Town Spurs.
Yes.
They're still linked to them.
Yes,
Rushin Dortley signed for Kaizer Chiefs. Three defensive signings. Is that where Nasruddin Nambi is going to focus his time and attention? The defense?
I love saying it in another podcast where I said Arsenal sorted out their problems defensively, right? In a podcast that we had. Perhaps that's what Kaizer Chiefs needs to do first. First, sort out your problems at the back, and then maybe things might change up front. And Orlando Pirates, the reason why they've become a force in terms of cup football is the fact that you can't score against them. But the problem is they just can't seem to score a lot in the league. Sundowns outscores them by 10, 15 goals a season, and that's where the league is usually. Those 15 goals translate into 15, 20 points. So perhaps that's what Kaizer Chiefs needs to solidify first. I don't think that Nasreddin Nabi is a fly-by-night. I think they've got a good coach. It requires patience. I don't know how patient the Kaizer Chiefs fan base will be, as well as the management. And look, I am sure there's a plan behind what they've signed.
Let's actually look at some of the previous managers that they've had. But in recent times, Calvin Johnson was the most recent interim manager. Prior to him, it was Otto Zwane, Molefi, and Seki. Mm-hmm. The three of them, how can I say, in a space of 18 months, came and gone.
I was excited to see Kaizer Chiefs trusting a South African manager. It's something that I've politically mentioned, that I'd like nothing better than to see South African managers succeeding at Pirates and Chiefs. I don't remember the last time they had a Pirates coach from South Africa. You know what I mean? Now that you've had three coaches locally who are inside the system, importantly, they were inside the system, so they were supposed to know how Kaizer Chiefs works inside out. I was desperate for them to succeed. They disappointed. And it's not like they really, really did disappoint, but unfortunately, it's about silverware at Kaizer Chiefs, and they didn't do anything on that front.
Well, you know, one manager that kind of did catch me by surprise was Gavin Hunt. I mean, his CAF ambitions would Kaizer Chiefs, I want to say, almost superseded the club, because he took them to the final. Of course, he was sacked and didn't really get a chance to compete in that final, but Gavin Hunt comes to mind, and, you know, he was during that era where the club was searching for the trophy and putting their resources behind the club.
Who knows if they'd had more patience, because his crime was getting whitewashed by Orlando Pirates in the MTN 8, that 5-0 aggregate score. Then getting beaten by Richards Bay in the Nedbank Cup. That was a humiliation. And then losing that CAF Champions League. Who knows what could have happened? Who knows what if they played Celtic in that MTN 8 final? Who knows if he beat Pizzo Musimane is Al Ahly? The history could have been different. So I also think sometimes it's a matter of patience. Who knows?
Do you think maybe the Mutong family could have maybe kept Hunt for a bit longer? Because you look at the sacking and the untimely sacking thereof.
Oh man, I was disappointed. I was shocked. And I was like, Kaizer Chiefs is going to regret this. At the same time, let's not forget, their business dealings were the ones that undermined Kaizer Chiefs, and that they used to get those transfer bans. Have you forgotten? And whose problem is that? That's not the coach. It's the management itself failing the coaches. So they've got a management issue. I keep going back to that point. How does a team like Kaizer Chiefs suffer a transfer ban? I mean, seriously, man. That's not good enough.
Yeah. Well, of course, after Gavin Hunt, it was Stuart Baxter who had a hugely successful stint in his first spell with the Soweto Giants. And, you know, you want to see the biggest club winning silverware. Baxter showed he was a man for the job. He, of course, did the league double and came back for his second time around. Just couldn't guide them to that victory.
He was trying to order deck chairs on the Titanic. The ship is sinking, and you're trying to order the deck chairs. It was a desperate move, also needed time. Back then, when they were very successful, when he gave them those two league titles and they were winning, it worked then. But at the same time, technically, they regressed. I keep saying technically, because it's a fact.
Yeah.
So now, if you're a Kaizer Chiefs manager or coach, you are set up to fail. So I don't know where that leaves Nabi.
Yeah. You know, one man who kind of took that right till the final day was Ernst Middendorp. And, you know, I think under his tutelage in the 2019-20 season, they kind of topped the table from the seventh match day on the league season and, you know, went right up until the final day, eventually losing to Mamelodi Sundowns, 2 points behind them.
They've got every damn right to blame COVID. Kaizer Chiefs needed, I think if they played one or two more games before COVID, that momentum would have been enough for them to win the league. COVID derailed them. They just, that break I don't know what they did wrong in trying to keep fit between March when the league was suspended and June when it, that's 3 months or 2 months. Yeah. And they got something wrong. Nobody can ever explain it. That league title was theirs. It's like that, what happened to Liverpool? Liverpool was probably going to finish with 108 points.
Mm.
They would have had a record.
Finish second.
No. They won the league. But then suddenly when they came back, they were lackluster, but then they had built up so much space between them and Man City that all they had to do was walk to the title. And they looked off the pace. Man City hit a run of form, a hot run of form. So I don't know what they got wrong that they couldn't maintain that form going into the COVID break. Hey, he was unlucky.
Yeah.
He was unlucky.
There was more heartbreak in that season for them. Of course, I'm talking about a Nedbank Cup final, that solitary goal by La Pasa, downing Chiefs.
I'm sorry there, KZ. I keep watching those highlights over and over and over again. And then sort of we talk about the magic of the Nedbank Cup or the magic of the FA Cup. It's just, remember, half that crowd was there to see.
I think KZ. More than half the crowd, maybe 80% of the crowd. 80%.
And then TS Galaxy were like, no. It was just the magic of football. So that's a game KZ Chiefs 5 years before would have won 3-0 comfortably by 60th minute. It just goes to show that something has just gone wrong. I don't know how many players in that team now currently have won a cup, other than Kune. You have to ask how many of them have won a cup.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you know, it was at that point in time where Ernst Müllendorf questioned the hunger of the players. And, you know, I can kind of see that same thread in recent times.
Ask yourself how many Bafana Bafana players are from Kaizer Chiefs at the moment.
Yeah, excellent point. Hugo Bruce refuses to select from Chiefs.
And it's not like he's punishing them. It's some kind of bias. It has something to do with where you are. But you are psychologically. He selects a team like Rassie Erasmus with Springboks. Yusuf Mott might be playing very well for Kaizer Chiefs, but he just doesn't quite fit into his style of play at Bafana Bafana. And how many Kaizer Chiefs players are knocking down the door to play for Bafana Bafana? Mm. So going back to the hunger, which is what I have to ask, how are you not hungry playing for Kaizer Chiefs? That makes absolutely no sense. That is terrible. I think the psychology at the club needs to change. I don't know how that gets changed, but hey, man, that is disappointing for somebody to make an observation like that.
Yeah. Do you feel like this current crop, though, can maybe write the script or rather rewrite the script? Do you feel like they possess the hunger? Do they possess the desire, the fight, the tenacity to last the entire season and maybe just mount a title challenge?
We'll see after 10 games. Because remember, they don't have MTNA to worry about.
Yeah.
They are going to go into the season under the radar. Yes, they got beaten by Yanga, but Yanga is in the middle of their season, that side. They're one of the top teams in East Africa, if not the best team out there.
Yeah.
So they've got a month. I want to see. If Kaizer Chiefs is unbeaten after 5 games at the beginning of next season, that could be very interesting. What if they win all 5 games in a row?
Yeah. Well, look, we know out wide, you've got the likes of Pule Modi, Ashley Dupree, and of course, through the middle, Ranga Chivaviro.
You can't say that you don't have firepower. Ashley Dupree, remember, we watched them at the COSAFA Cup in 2023, and we were like, this guy's going to go far. And then he proceeded to have a spectacular season with Stellenbosch. Stellenbosch is going to miss him. He is Kaizer Chiefs' gain. If he decides to bang them in, and then he's ably supported by Chivaviro, as well as your Modis from midfield and out wide, you know, there is nothing stopping Kaizer Chiefs from just saying, you know what, damn it, we are going to upset everybody, because Sundowns is there for the taking.
Yeah. No. You know, I'm going to actually say something a bit controversial. I feel the Chiefs midfield can compete man for man with any other PSL club out there. It's just the cohesion that doesn't exist between them because, you know, like you mentioned, Yusuf Mott, who's just been given the captain's armband at Kaizer Chiefs.
Exactly.
So, you know,
he's their best signing in a while.
Yeah. So a new manager comes in, sees Mott. You know, I'm sure he would have watched a few clips from last season, but maybe what he's seen since he's arrived in Soweto, that might have been the, the affirmation that Mott is meant to be the captain to lead his team to victory.
I think this was probably one of the best decisions he's made. You need a rallying point, somebody who convinces everybody that this guy's good. We all know that at the moment, Yusuf Mott is the best player at Kaizer Chiefs, a warrior that everybody can get behind. And the fact that now, remember, I've said it earlier, they're going to go into the season under the radar.
Yeah.
There's no telling what they're going to have planned for us.
Mm.
And teams won't know. Sometimes it takes a while for teams to figure out, oh, damn, Chiefs is playing this way. And by the time they figure you out, it's already too late and the momentum has been built. Hence why I'm like, okay, I really am excited for Yusuf Matt. That was a good signing from Pirates, I must say.
Yeah. You know, and I'm going to speak about his midfield generals, the likes of Castillo, who I believe still has one or two more seasons.
Yes.
In his current contract. So yes, this is really a make or break season for Castillo. I do hope that the Venezuelan takes the fight to the opposition, because he's somebody that can outperform anybody on the pitch, including the likes of Mart, including the likes of Dupriez. I think we've seen glimpses of his performance in last season's MTN 8 win, when I believe Keaton City knocked him out. But you know, it was Castillo who scored those acrobatic goals away from home. There's even the Mtecho we're going to circle back to. But right now, Castillo, what have you made about his performance, his time right now at Kaizer Chiefs?
There's a terminology that a lot of people out in England tend to use when describing a former player, a player that has been signed. They say that you become something like a new signing, and... maybe Castillo might become something of a new signing with his form. At the end of the season, he didn't exactly finish off very well. But taking it from there, perhaps he can build upon the promise. And, you know, like I said, he could be like one of several players who become something like a new signing.
Yeah. You know, I've always had this long-standing belief that Chiefs' strongest formation is a 4-3-3, because not only do they have somebody like Castillo who has shown what he can do when he gets forward, but the likes of Yusuf Matt alongside Mtetwa. When Mtetwa left Stellenbosch, he was everything. I mean, they call him the ox for crying out loud. He used to break down opposition attacks, keep their ball. I'm sure any team who signs him, their ball retention will go up, because the man just doesn't lose it. Can play simple passes, spread the ball out wide. And, you know, I want to say Steve Barker got the best out of Mtecho when he was still at Stellenbosch. Not quite the same player at Chiefs, though.
Remember, Kaizer Chiefs, when we all grew up watching football, Kaizer Chiefs was known for its midfield. You've got Shakes, you've got Doctor, you've got Thabo Mooki, you've got all these sensational midfielders who starve the opposition of the ball. And you see glimpses of it here and then. And with these players that you've mentioned, the Ox and Castillo and Matt, if Nabi really does have a plan, and I believe he does have a plan, because I keep saying he's not a fly by night, then if Kaizer Chiefs can impose themselves on the opposition, who knows? What if they come with a 3-4-3 as opposed to 4-3-3?
Yeah.
Come up with something different. Punish you with their right, with their wing backs. Maybe the wing backs keep you suppressed in your box as opposed to just constantly running at you. Who knows?
Well,
who
knows? In the current squad, I guess Dylan Solomons can play in the wing back position. Of course, they've got the likes of Happy Mashiani, who I believe is still a Chiefs player, although he hasn't really touched the ground in some time.
We're currently looking at the names at the moment, and at the same time, remember the window closes when on the 3rd.
It's about 3 weeks away.
3 weeks away.
Yeah,
something can happen.
Yeah.
You've got the likes of Velibai
who
can come through.
Maybe he's the missing piece to that wingback puzzle.
And he plays that wingback, like I mentioned. So who knows? A player like that can transform. They wouldn't just decide, hey, Velibai. And his family can't just decide, hey, let us try force through a move for you from Cape Town Spurs to Kaizer Chiefs. So look, it can take a signing to change everything. And but like I said, man, look, we're not going to see much of Kaizer Chiefs for the next 3 weeks because of this MTN 8 and when the league starts. So we won't have a idea of what they have cooking, and they might shock us. Who knows?
You know, the relationship that Kaizer Chiefs have with Cape Town Spurs is quite profitable for both parties, because, of course, Chiefs gets a player who knows what is expected at the highest professional level. And I want to say even the hunger to win, because when you come up from the first division, of course, you know what winning feels like, and you know you want to keep the momentum and stuff. But, you know, with the likes of Rushin Dortley already signed, the likes of Velibai, who I'm sure that he will be a Chiefs player before the end of the window, should they now focus their attention on Ashley Cupido? Because I want to say right now, the Cape Town Spurs forward has been the standout performer for them in recent years, and having two Cape Town Spurs players, I'm sure, wouldn't hurt to have a third and maybe final piece of the attack who can maybe spearhead
Ashley squared up front. You might have something like a CBD developing there. It looks, I'm assuming, I'm just going to give them the benefit of that. They might turn out to be quite sensible signings. Look, you've got Chivaviro, you've got Cupido, and you've got, what's his name? It's Tupria, Chivaviro, and possibly Cupido. Hey, look, that's firepower. You can't say you have been denied. It's just a matter of creating, and it's a matter of them taking their opportunities.
Yeah. All right, then.
And, you know, you never know what the likes of Sundowns might still have on the side. Like, maybe they're looking to offload certain players who can, because Sundowns has got such a big squad that, hey, if you go, you know, I heard somewhere that Sipho Mbuli, imagine shocking you with such.
Or MasterChef, yeah?
Yeah. There are experienced players out there who can inspire a team, who like leaders of men.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's what I say, leaders of men. And they've currently got one, Yusuf Mart.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you know, as I mentioned, he was handpicked by Nasruddin Nabi to be the captain of the team.
That says a lot.
You know, let me get your thoughts on what Nabi's project at Chiefs is, because in the season that just finished, Chiefs came in 10th position. That's bottom half of the log. Didn't qualify for the MTN 8. Now, of course, Kevin Johnson was the interim coach, but he was never brought into coach Kaizer Chiefs. It was more on the youth side, the development side, where his pedigree has shone. But you know, that is the lowest finish in the PSL era.
Operation top 8 next season?
I would hope so. I would hope so.
And then operation top 5, minimum. And then the higher you get, and depending on if Sundowns and Kaizer and Pirates are fumbling, who knows? Like I said, I am genuinely expecting a fall off from Sundowns this season. But at the same time, Pirates is expected to pounce. But if I'm Kaizer Chiefs, the fact that they go into the season without any pressure benefits them. But they mustn't slack off. That must be like, hey, there's no pressure on us. Let's go and enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you know, they of course got that all elusive man Nasruddin Nabi.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he was heavily linked with the move to
for
Chiefs
a while
before the season started. But then the issue was that they had pinned down Arthur Zwane and Dylan Shepherd to long-term deals. And if they had to sack them, the club would have had to pay a lot of money. And also the incoming coach Nabi, as well as his technical team. And I think Bobby or Kaizer Mutwang Jr. said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep the likes of your Zwanes, your Shepherds, your Ntsekis. And, you know, of course, Johnson was the last person to hold that Kaizer Chiefs pot.
They've wanted him for the longest time. So they've identified him, that, you know what, we believe that you are the man. I'm just going to guess here, that Peter Musimane was too expensive. I assume Peter Musimane was too expensive because you'd have taken over Kaizer Chiefs at any point. And they've got their man. And right now, I keep imploring them, management of Kaizer Chiefs, please make this guy's job easy. Because modern football is no longer about the coach controlling what's happening on the field and what's happening off the field. It's about you out there in the boardroom. What are you doing? Don't undermine him.
Yeah. Well, of course, he comes with a proven track record. I mean, at Young Africans, he was there for two seasons. We averaged almost 2 points a game.
Yes.
It's 1.79. But, you know, that's you're averaging at least a draw every single game. On top of that, he then went to Rabat and managed over there just for a season. But in that full season, almost 3 points a game, 2.26. I mean, that's incredible. And now he's at Chiefs.
And remember, Morocco is the leading African football at the moment.
Yep.
There's a lot going for them. They want to become the first African world champion. So the fact that they've gotten a good coach like that out of Morocco, and we've got our best coach for the last few years doing now being signed through by Wydad to turn around their fortunes. The only issue that's probably going to frustrate him in South Africa is the finishing. I think he's going to get that taste that, hey, South Africans are wasteful as hell. But once he can get around that, who knows? Imagine 2.26 points a game.
That's ridiculous.
You win the league. You won the league in South Africa. You won the league after 20 games. So if he can turn that. So in South Africa, that's 30 games, right? If you turn that into 1.5 points again, that's 45. Now, if you can turn that into two, that's now challenging for the league title.
Mm.
So beyond that, now Sundowns has taught us that you need 70 points to win the league. So that's 2.5. So who knows? Who knows?
100%. Well, I want to ask you this.
Yes.
Where do you actually think they'll finish? Because I know you did call our top eight, but you know, last season, the likes of Polokwane City, who was a first division team, got promoted.
Yes.
Finished in the top eight. Chiefs didn't. So, of course, the margins are very thin. I mean,
maybe
a point separating fourth place, Sekhukhune United, to seventh place, SuperSport United. I mean,
so imagine they are four wins better, they finish in fourth.
Mm.
So, like I said, fifth. And upwards.
Yeah.
Fifth and upwards.
That's your
fifth and upwards.
Okay.
And upwards or up and upwards. Yeah.
All right. Well, Kebo, we're gonna have to wait and see how your prediction plays out. It's been a pleasure discussing all things Kaizer Chiefs related with you. From all of us at Studio, thanks and goodbye.
Thank you very much for having me.